That's Superjump, the logical song. It's just gone 11:30, and welcome to the studio, Maura from AUAN.
Hi, Malcolm. Good to see you again.
And you. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
So, you've had a fairly hectic year, and this year looks like it's going to be even more hectic, because it's actually the fifth anniversary, isn't it, of the demolition of the Prior's House?
Yes, it was on the 9th of January, which is why we chose that date to release details of the case going to the European Court of Human Rights.
Now, this is a first for you, isn't it?
Yes, we've had to wait a long time to get a case that could possibly go. Because the Court of Human Rights requires that you exhaust all legal possibilities in Spain before you can approach that court. And furthermore, they require that you actually argue the issue of human rights through the Spanish court system. So that narrows the number of cases that are candidates for that court down quite considerably. So that's why it's taken quite a bit of time to get a case in this position.
Now, this particular case, I believe that the people that were involved couldn't actually afford to pursue this route.
Well, it was both financial and emotional exhaustion, actually. This couple have spent a considerable amount of their own money arguing this case in the Spanish courts over the years. One of them has been in quite poor health, and it's quite a stressful situation to find yourself in, to have to try and deal with lawyers and courts and constant disappointments of appeals being rejected. So they were on the point of giving up, and who could blame them, really? They were getting nowhere in the Spanish courts. So at that point we stepped in and said, it's important for all of us if you continue. It's an important case. This wasn't a charitable donation to a particular couple on the part of our associations that backed it. We backed it because, as I said earlier, it's a rare case, and we felt it was important to get this issue heard in a court outside of Spain. So we offered to ask our members to put their hands in their pockets and support the case, which I'm very glad to say, very proud of them to say that they actually did that.
That must have been difficult because, I mean, at the end of the day, this is just one case, isn't it, of many?
Yeah, actually, it was easy.
Yeah.
When I put it to the membership, it was very easy. We raised most of the money in a single day.
Because the one thing I'm you know, just like to pursue a little bit is a lot of the stuff that publicity-wise that you've done in the past and done this and done that doesn't seem to have stirred up the Spanish system at all. I know I'm probably being a bit unkind here, but
it hasn't stirred up the Spanish system because we get very little support from the expat community. What we have managed to achieve has been on the back of protest marches, such as the decree, for example, such as the special legal conditions that allow provisions of electricity and water. They were things that we managed to drag out of a reluctant government, not just us, other associations.
Sure.
As well. But unfortunately, the biggest stumbling block to any progress is apathy among the expatriate community. But it was easy for our members to connect with what the issue was and to provide the initial funding to get this case as far as we've got it now, because quite a number of our members also have legal proceedings against their houses. They're also facing the possibility of demolition, and they know that, like the Priors, the courts completely disregard the right of a person who purchased in good faith and who is simply caught in the crossfire between either a regional government and a town council, as in this case, or the criminal courts and a constructor who built without a building license. They completely and utterly disregard the rights of a person who purchased in good faith, and they will order demolition of a house without taking any measures to ensure that the innocent party is compensated.
Well, on that subject, I mean, I've noticed in your press release you actually say that the case will focus on Article 1 of Protocol Number 1 in the European Convention of Human Rights, which guarantees the right to property. Now, this fundamental right, which according to yourselves, holds little sway in the Spanish judicial system. So if you get a result with this, will the Spanish judicial system or will Spain sit up and say, all right, sorry?
Yes, we believe, we actually have a practical example of where the Spanish court has obeyed the European Court of Human Rights. And I'm sure people have been reading in the newspaper about all of the evictions that have been going on. Similar situation, out you go, no measures to decide what happens to that person next. And there was a case in Madrid recently where the lawyer acting for a lady with two children who was about to be evicted actually put in an emergency appeal to the European Court of Human Rights. And they contacted Spain and said, what are you doing to support this person when they're thrown out of their house? And they gave the usual answer, oh, they have recourse to the social systems in Spain. And the European Court of Human Rights turned around and said, well, I'm sorry, but that's not good enough. You haven't given consideration to the rights of this person under the European Convention of Human Rights. Stop this eviction. And they did it. The court suspended the eviction. So we would like a similar scenario to emerge where the European Court of Human Rights would say, I'm sorry, you cannot demolish this person's property or you cannot grab their land because you haven't compensated them. They did nothing wrong. This is a failure in the system. This is an argument between a regional government and a town council, or it's as a result of criminal proceedings. This person has been established as the innocent party. Nobody claims that they did anything wrong, so therefore you cannot deprive them of their property in this way without compensating them beforehand.
And do you think if they make a judgment on this particular case, that will have a strong effect on other cases without them having to go to the
That's the reason why we're doing it. That's the reason why we're interested in this case, because it is typical of many, many, many other cases. This is one case in Albox. There are seven other cases. This is one of the original eight cases in Albox that came to light in 2009. There are seven other similar cases further back down the court system, but orbiting again quite close to the courts. There's a case already in the European Court of Human Rights relating to land grab in Valencia, but is also being addressed against the right to property. So we see that if we can get a ruling in these cases, it will have significant implications for others. For example, it might allow you others to jump straight out of the Spanish court system straight to the European Court of Human Rights. So rather than wasting time and money on a system that doesn't recognize this basic human right, you could go straight to the European Court of Human Rights.
This is Passport on Smooth FM with Malcolm Christine, and our guest today is Maura Hillen from the AUAN, and we're talking about the case that's been taken to the European Court of Human Rights. It's a mouthful to say when you've got a cold, isn't it, Maura?
Yes, it is.
Now, we're talking about, in terms of time, what sort of time scale do we have on this?
It could take a number of years
really?
To have the case heard, but obviously if the... if there was a date given for a demolition, that would escalate matters. You could invoke an emergency procedure at that point in time. I mean, as with any court, there's no guarantee of success, but you have to try. The European Court of Human Rights gets an enormous number of cases, but we had this case assessed, and it was the belief of a QC who's already acting on another case relating to the Valencian land grab that the case had merit and would most likely be a candidate for the European Court.
But even so, when you say it could take years, that in itself is just adds to the misery, doesn't it?
It does. It adds to the uncertainty, but unfortunately, there are no easy solutions in life for these sort of issues. You have to persevere, and if you remember, it's perhaps sudden and new news for people whose properties are not in the courts, but anybody who has a house in the legal system in Spain appreciates that they are even longer and more Byzantine and more convoluted with appeals, counter appeals, and at least in the European court, if the case is lost, and we hope it won't be, you don't have to pay the Spain's costs, whereas in the other courts, in the appeals courts, you do.
Right.
So many people are finding that when they put in an appeal, if they lose the appeal, they have to pay the Junta de Andalucía's costs as well as their own. So at least we avoid that. But, I mean, the whole thing is nothing ventured, nothing gained. So you have to try.
Now, I noticed that you're obviously attracting quite a lot of publicity, certainly in the UK and in Spain.
Yeah, in the Spanish press mostly. Mm. I think a lot of the say, local forums, etc., are barely noticed because they don't read the Spanish press.
Right.
Anybody who reads the Spanish press has noticed it was quite widely reported because, of course, it's rather unusual for a group of British pensioners to take Spain to the European Court of Human Rights. So, in the foreign, back in the UK, there's been a fair bit of interest from the UK press, but they'd like to see it develop a bit more.
Sure.
Wait and see what we do next.
Right.
In terms of who we appoint to act for us, etc., and then they'll believe that we really mean business.
As ever. Now, costs. I mean, obviously, you've had to put your hands in your pockets with the blessing of your members. You know, can people donate to this?
Yes, and yes, please. Mm-hmm. This case is expensive. If you want a QC from the UK to take this case for you, then obviously somebody like that and the team who works with him do not come cheaply. Also, you would need lawyers based in Spain to liaise with them to provide information on the case itself, but other cases, if we can bring in other examples, because one of our objectives is, of course, to create a pattern.
Right.
Of problems emerging from the same root cause, because that starts to move you up the rankings in terms of how a case will be seen by the court. But it is very expensive. We're very realistic about that. I would expect that we will have to raise at least a decent five-figure sum to progress this case. As I said, our members of AUAN and SOHA raised €3,000 plus very quickly to ensure that the case was assessed properly. And we had to guarantee a further €3,000 based on which court. If we put it to the Constitutional Court, for example, and lost, we would have had to pay double that amount because we'd have to pay the state's costs as well as our own. But yes, we are entirely reliant on the public to put their hands in their pockets and give whatever they can towards funding this case. The money will not go into AUAN's funds. It will not be used for running AUAN or any of the other activities that we do. It will solely be used for this case. So if you look at our website, if you Google AUAN or www.almanzora-au.org, there is a big donate button on the front page, and that will allow you to donate towards the case, either by sending a cheque to the address provided and marked ECHR, or by using PayPal to give us a credit card donation, which again comes into our system as marked for this case. And you don't have to be a member of PayPal to use to donate in this way. we're trying to drive funding. We're asking other associations are also carrying this information on their web pages, and we're hoping that we can build up some momentum. Because if you remember, there's 12,000 or more illegal properties in the Almanzora Valley alone. If every one of those people gave 10 euros or even 5 euros, we'd have enough. But I doubt, unfortunately, that will happen. But we hope that many people will understand what we're trying to achieve and why it's necessary to raise the funds and support us and themselves.
And will you have other? Will there be other opportunities throughout the year? Will you have fundraising events, etc.?
Well, we had to pull this together very quickly, but we will now plan how best to start funding. We've started with the initial straight check or credit card appeal. But yes, if we have the energy, we will try to organise some fundraising activities. And if anybody else wants to organise a fundraising activity and donate the proceeds to the cause, that would be fantastic.
All right. Well, the easiest route is through the website, I guess.
Yes. Just have a look. Google AUAN. Mm-hmm. We've got a Facebook page. You can find us the same way, AUAN. And you can contact us via the web page, via the Facebook page, however you wish. And we'd be more than happy to take any help that we can get.
All right, Maura. Now, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
Good luck with this.
Thank you.
And keep us in touch with what's going on. And particularly if you've got a special event coming up or something like that, let us know and we can...
We will do. Okay.
All right, Maura.
Thanks very much.
Bye.